Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Our first scripture reading is found in Psalm 1 on page 489. In the Old Testament of your pew Bibles. This story and today's theme kind of reminds me a little bit of the old Navajo story when the young man asks his father about the two wolves living inside him, the evil and the good. And he says, well, which one lives? And the old man says, the one you feed. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
This is the fourth week of reading James. For those of you that have missed until today, James is the brother of Jesus. We think the congregation that he's leading is in Jerusalem. We think that he was probably martyred about 62 or so, about the same time Paul would have been martyred in Rome. What I've said on a couple of occasions here is the fact that although we talk about James and this idea of faith without works, and we focus on that, he's trying to hold the two in balance, is that If you say you're a person of faith, there needs to be some evidence of that. John Wesley could relate to that in his getting the Methodist movement started. Your bulletin will suggest that I'm going to skip a few verses. I'm actually going to read along the verses that were shown in your bulletin as being skipped, and the projection is accurate. It's page 230 of the Pew Bibles, James chapter 3. I start in the verse 13. I'm going to end up about the middle of verse 8 or so, starting on page 230 of your pew Bibles. This particular section is called Two Kinds of Wisdom. Two Kinds of Wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the scripture says God yearns jealously for the spirit he has made to dwell in us? But he gives all the more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let me start with a little review of what we've talked about the last 3 weeks before today. One of the key values that James reminds us of, and it comes back to again and again and again, is not to be contaminated, not to have the world stain your very soul. It's important for him that he reminds us that there ought to be this contrast between living a life that is dedicated to the world's values as opposed to a life that's dedicated to living the values of God. And he uses the imagery of having been stained, having your soul stained with that. The other thing I think is important for us to understand as we talk about James is how important the Hebrew Bible is to him. That makes sense. 1 Corinthians didn't exist at the time. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not exist at the time that he's doing this. So he's going to ground his conversation in the same grounding that Jesus did. He's going to look back to the Old Testament. He's going to talk from the Old Testament. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that one of his core values is the fact that there's not a hierarchy of sinfulness. There's not a hierarchy of commandments. The Ten Commandments are all equal. They're all important to him. And you don't sit down and say, well, I've done okay on these 9, but I have failed on this one. And his argument would be, then you failed in general. You failed in totality. And the last week, although I didn't necessarily specifically mention it, the sermon about talking out of control, would have been grounded in one of the Ten Commandments about not bearing false witness against your neighbor. That's what that would have been. Now, as you were listening to my reading of the scripture, which one do you think is the commandment that he's driving at today? What? Do not covet. Exactly. Do not covet. Don't covet the things of your neighbor. And what he's trying to get you to understand is covet the things that are of value. Covet the things are of importance to God. Not the world's values, not the stains of the world kind of thing. Rather, it's a focus on bringing into your heart those things that God would invite you to bring in. Now, this is the second time that rapscallion Mike Montoya has used my sermon and has stolen my line. How did you do this? I'm gonna disqualify you for being a... He told a story about, it's either a Cherokee or a Navajo grandfather is talking to his grandson, and he shares some wisdom with his grandson and says, there's two wolves inside of you competing for your very soul. One is a wolf that would have you be greedy, that's greedy, makes you focus on yourself, ambitious. The other wolf is a wolf that is about kindness and gentleness. Then his grandson looks at him and says, Grandfather, which wolf will survive inside of me? And his grandfather says the line that Mike gave us. It depends upon which one you feed. It depends upon which one you feed. James is saying something similar here. You have a choice. You can make a choice as to what it is you value and feed inside of yourself. You can take God's wisdom, God's knowledge, or you can focus on the stain of the wisdom of the world. The choice is yours. Feed one of those and you'll get a result. He would advocate that you feed the one that is focused on doing God's will and God's and is based upon the knowledge of God. Knowledge and wisdom. He's used these words a couple of times. And when you're using the word wisdom, there's a set of material in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, that is wisdom material. It's both simple and complicated. The Proverbs, for example, just contain all of these short, pithy statements, waste not, want not kind of stuff, which helps you understand the world. Very short. But on the other hand, you also have material like Job. Job is part of the wisdom material. The righteous do suffer. And Job is this commentary on that the righteous do indeed suffer. They're not only the unrighteous that suffers, it's the righteous as well. And so what he's pointing back to here is this idea that it's in the wisdom material is by grounding yourself, getting knowledge of what the Bible says and what it is for us to understand, that is part of how it is that we learn how to feed that side of our soul that leads to positive outcomes. Feeding the wrong wolf leads to a hole in your very soul. I want to offer some examples here, two that are negative and one that is positive. There was a, for those of you that are younger than me, there's a group out of England called Radiohead. Have you ever heard of that group, Radiohead? I see a few hands go up, Radiohead. I had never heard of them before. It's about 35 years they've been in existence. They're still in existence. And it's out of England. And Tom York is the front man for the group. And he says, I thought when I got to where I wanted to be, everything would be different. I'd be somewhere else. I thought it'd be all white, fluffy clouds. And then I got there, and I'm still here, meaning still at a broken place. Still here. And then the interviewer says, why in the end have you done what you've done? And he says, it's filling the hole. It's filling the hole. It's all anyone does. Interviewer asks, what happens to the hole? And York looks up at him and says, it's still there. It's still there. Why? Because he has, to use the image that Mike used, he has fed the wolf that is about the darker side of his soul. He's fed fame. He's fed success. My guess is if he's in a rock band, I'm going to make a gross conclusion, but I'm assuming he's fed it with women. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, he has fed his soul with the wrong things. Kevin Durant is a basketball player in the National Basketball Association. He was able to win a world title with a team several years ago, but the amount of technical fouls, that's where referees give you a foul for arguing, mostly, and his number of ejections from the game, enough technical fouls you get thrown out of the game, they've actually gone up since he won a championship. And somebody asked him, it's just my emotions and passion for the game. After winning that championship, I learned that not much had changed. I thought it would fill a certain void. It didn't. Again, to go back to Mike's image, to go back to the image we have here from James, what type of wisdom was he operating from? The world's wisdom, the world's stain. That's what he was saying was important, rather than trying to focus on what God would have him do. Now, my next example is one where a person is changed as a result of feeding the wolf, but they feed the positive wolf. I've lived in Korea for 13 months. live there. We have this idea sometimes that the word orphanage means children without parents. Often around the rest of the world, what it means is abandoned children. And they're abandoned for different reasons. In Korea, they're sometimes abandoned because they're of mixed race. And sometimes they're abandoned in Korea because they have birth defects. When I was in the 2nd Infantry Division in Korea, an orphanage in town, in Dongdaechon, it was operated by the 2nd Engineer Battalion, which was Americans, there, and they took care of those orphans, and they paid for the care that they had there. There's a pastor named Lee Jong Rock, who is the pastor of a community church in Seoul, Korea. He was aware of how children were being abandoned in Seoul because they had birth defects or were of mixed race. He knew what was going on with them. So he knew that many of them were dying from the cold. So what he did was he created a box called the Drop Box. Anybody see the movie called The Drop Box? It's a documentary, 2014. He created a drop box and had inside of it heat, padding, blankets, things like that. And a person could come up on the outside of the church, open the drop box, place the newborn infant inside, wrap it, and then push the door back shut, and then ring the bell, and somebody would come retrieve the child. They had been dropped off. And Pastor Lee has actually adopted 12 of these children himself. Brian Ivey, who lives in Hollywood, lives in Southern California, wanted to tell the story of it. And he said himself, so self-described, he said he grew up in church, going to church on Christmas and Easter. And he considered himself a Christian. Why did he consider himself a Christian? Because he didn't smoke, and he watched Fox News, and you could have said MSNBC, but he watched Fox News with my mom. My Christianity was a decorative label. The Christianity was a decorative label. But he was touched by Pastor Lee's compassion, his love, his grace, and he would say, these kids were helpless, and I realized I was broken and helpless too, and I also needed to be rescued. Which wolf did he feed as a result of that experience? It changed him, changed the very direction of his life. He chose to have his heart set on fire. He chose to let his heart burst with God's love because of what it was that he saw and did through Pastor Lee. John Wesley would write, unless God has raised you up for this very thing, the very thing we're talking about, the drop box kind of mentality, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Okay, now I forgot. Did I mention that the Atlanta Braves won the National League East yesterday? Did I mention that?
No.
Okay, I have on my Atlanta Braves tie, okay? In the 7th inning yesterday, the Atlanta Braves starting pitcher, he had thrown 6 innings of no-hit ball, thrown about 80 pitches, and the manager came out and said, Mike, how are you? Mike, how are you doing? And he said, I'm all in. I'm all in. Using all in that way means he's exhausted. He's tired. He doesn't have anything else to give. I'm all in. Okay? Conversely, you can use the term all in. It comes from poker, that you basically say, if we're going to do this, we might as well do this now. I'm all in. Everything that I have is is on this next play of the cards. Okay? That's that. So you can use all in two ways. One way means you're all in because you're exhausted. Another way means you're all in because you are all in. You're going to be doing what it is that is called for at this point. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. All in an exhausting kind of way. But if God be for you, who can be against you? All in an uplifting way. Got it? That makes sense? Okay. Now, I want to talk about the next part here, and I want to say this in such a way that there's absolutely no guilt, no shame. And at the 9 o'clock service, I made the joke and said, I'm not a Presbyterian, and there was some laughter. And there are denominations out there which operate off of guilt at a higher level than Methodists do. So no guilt, no shame. Are we okay with that? Repeat that. No guilt.
No guilt.
No shame.
No shame.
I've been here 6 years, 3 months. The first week I was here, about four times a day, people would come up to me and they would say, is your wife going to participate in the life of this church? Now, for those of you that were here 6.5 years ago, you remember that? You may have been one of the ones who asked. Okay? What's the answer to that question? Okay? Is my wife all in exhausted, or is my wife all in, all in? Yeah, that's exactly right. People come up to me regularly and say, Dennis, you're working too hard. You're working way too hard. Okay, you're probably right. Why am I working too hard? I'm all in. I'm all in. I will confess to you that if I go to a meeting and I'm crabby, I'm probably all in because I'm all in exhausted. Okay? I wish I could say that I was never crabby at a meeting. That's unfortunately not true. No guilt, no shame, right? No guilt, no shame. Marilyn and I give $36,000. We're giving $36,000 to Hilltop this year. Part of that we give because we can. We give because we can. But part of that is that we give because we are
all in.
We're all in. We're all in. So the question that we need to ask ourselves sometimes here is, where are we? Are we all in exhausted? Or are we all in, having fed the wolf that gives us grace, that has us understand mercy, understands what God's message for us in the world is? One wolf is stained by the world. One wolf is fed by the gospel. It's fed by the good news. We're going to try a different approach this year with our stewardship campaign. We're not going to talk a lot during worship service. For everybody that's already sort of X'd out October because you don't want to hear all about what the cost is of electricity, we're not going to talk to you about the cost of electricity. Okay? We're going to talk to you about hopefully inviting you to be all in relation to your quest to understand who God is. Way, way too much in our stewardship conversations, we focus on treasure. Let me observe to you that what we're going to try to focus on is time, talent, and treasure. Now, here's an observation for you. Believe it or not, there are people out here in this church who feel like if they give a lot of treasure, they don't have to give any time or talent. There are other people out here who feel like if they give a lot of time and talent, they don't have to give any treasure, right? It's something off of all three stacks. It's something off of all three stacks. Time, talent, treasure. Something off of all three. That's a measurement of how all in you are. The invitation there is to be without shame, without guilt, to be all in. And that all in is to be there, you get there in part by feeding the wolf inside of you that leads to that kind of outcome. By feeding the wolf inside of you that leads to that kind of outcome. You can be like the rock singer. You can be like the NBA player. Have the values of the world, be what you think is important, and embrace those and feed those, and you get to the end and you're still empty. Or you can be like Pastor Lee and Brian, who's told the story of his life. You can feed the wolf inside of you that gets you to a place of grace, to get you to be a place of being a reflection of God's love in the world. And you find when you get there that that hole that's inside of your soul has been filled. The choice is yours. Which one do you want to feed? I would invite you to think deeply about how it is that you grow in your faith journey, of how it is that you live that out, and how you participate in the life of this church. And I will say to you again, going back to the number that I gave you for Marilyn and I, we do it in part because we can. But the other part of it is because we believe in Hilltop. We believe deeply in Hilltop. And we believe in God's church. God's church is a change agent in the world. Our values that we are operating from said we, Hilltop, believe that we can make the world a more godly place. Refreshed by this vision, using our gifts and inspiring others to believe and act, our world is reshaped closer to the perfection of God's creation. That's who we think we are. I think that's an accurate picture of who Hilltop is. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, may James's words speak to us in our now. May it remind us, without guilt, without shame, to call us to a higher place. Which part of what feeds us is going to sustain and nurture God's wisdom and God's knowledge in our very souls? And all of God's children say, please stand as you are. I'm actually truly here on Sunday mornings as a chance to play a tambourine. Roberta Bondi, in her book, Loving as God Loves, tells a story about the early church and how they would get into a circle and they would image that God was at the center of the circle, and they would encourage people to keep getting closer and closer and closer to the center of the circle. And what they would then call out is that as you did that, as you got closer to the center of the circle, as you got closer to God, you got closer to your fellow human beings. Powerful. Powerful. I invite us now to make a choice. Make a choice as to what is important to you. Make a choice of what is of value to you. I would say that the psalm that Mike read, Psalm 1, invites us to go deeper in the scripture, go deeper in God's way. I would say that the image that I used of the Navajo or Cherokee, whichever it was, invites us to make a choice as to which side of ourselves we're going to feed. James invites us to feed that side which brings out the side of God in all of us. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, the grace that is here, you are empowered to do that. And you may think that you're unworthy in some kind of way. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. And God has forgiven every one of us. Can we have an amen?
Amen.
I invite you now to go into God's world and be a change agent for God in the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of God's children say,
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.